This episode of The Unwind is brought to you by Audible. Get your free audiobook download and free 30-day trial by going to audibletrial.com/rolltohit.
You should get a Brita filter so we can have cold water.
Or ice.
Oh, yeah, or ice, yeah. Is there ice in
there? There's an ice tray. Last time I tried it, it tasted nasty. It was like old ice.
What do you think it is? Like, it's just, I guess.
Smells from the other thing, just comes in.
But so, you guys just never use ice? I guess you never have
Never use ice.
I really like cold drinks. I mean, my water, I always have in a Brita filter, so I don't really need to put ice. But, yeah, I guess in the same way, I don't really use ice that much, because usually it's in the fridge already. But
I'm so happy to see you guys right now. I'm happy we're recording. I was lonely last week. I was like, I didn't see my buddies. What up, nerds? Welcome to episode 41 of The Unwind, a weekly show where we talk about tech, games, gadgets, and geek culture. My name is Rob Steller.
I'm Sean Thomas.
And I'm Josiah Hills.
Gentlemen, E3 has come and passed. E-triple. And my friends, it was an E3 to remember. Like, this is the first E3 in a while that I can remember being genuinely excited, and it's mostly because of one announcement, which I'll get into later. Also, side news, I finished The Witcher. It only took 72 hours.
So you're finally a Witcher now?
Yes, I am now. Actually, you know what's really funny? This is a quick story. I was walking around town the other day, and I saw a dog bowl, right, outside of one of the shops. This is a stupid story. And there was a water trail leading away from it, so I turned on my Witcher sensor, and I followed it for like 3 blocks just to see if I could find the dog and then slay him. But I could not find the dog, but I felt like a Witcher, so that is kind of sad. Anyway, so...
And then you take out the wrong sword, and then you take an hour.
So there were a lot of things that happened this past week at E3.
All of the things.
I'm not going to go through all of it, because there are plenty of other shows you can listen to that will recap that for you. I'm just going to go through briefly. I want to talk about who won this year's E3. Because, like, was it last year where it was, like, Sony and Microsoft were going head-to-head, and Sony just, like, completely dominated. Like, every single announcement Microsoft made, Sony just, like, came back and owned them. Was that last year or 2 years ago?
Last year, right? 2014, yeah.
So this year was a little bit different. I think there's a good topic of conversation. So anyway, Oculus was the new kids on the block here. They had the first press conference on Sunday before it's kicked off. They announced that they are ready to release their consumer model of the Oculus Rift. It's coming out in Q1 2016.
And their first app is going to be Facebook and VR, where you just slide through everyone's pictures and you can cry as you see everybody going to all these cool places.
Virtual crying.
They did show off a little bit more of Eve Valkyrie, which looks amazing. That's like the only compelling game that looks... It also comes with an Xbox controller, Xbox One controller, and there's a big partnership between Microsoft and Oculus now.
What does that mean, though? Does it mean that I can play Xbox games with
an
Oculus
Rift? So what
they
said is that when you hook up your Oculus... Or, sorry, you can stream games from your Xbox One to your Oculus. Not in virtual reality, though. It's just in a cinema mode where you're sitting in a virtual beanbag chair and looking at a big TV screen and playing the game.
I don't understand what that means at all. Are you playing the game or not?
You're playing the game.
Okay.
So it's not virtual reality, though. You're not seeing the game in virtual reality. You're seeing the game on a virtual TV screen.
So you're virtually watching.
It's like playing a game in The Sims. You just see it.
Yes.
And then,
my brain just
and it actually comes
a little
with
bit.
A free feeding tube, so you don't ever have to leave. You're just automatically.
But anyway.
I don't understand that. Like,
I mean, the big announcement is Oculus games are going to be on Windows. They were thinking about doing Mac only, and then they decided,
okay, stop the trolling. I'm serious. I want to know what they think is the benefit of doing that. Like, you're going to have less pixels, right? Unless the Oculus Rift is like 4K, I'm going to have less pixels when I watch TV.
So I guess if you don't want to play games on your TV or can't on your TV, so you put your headset on and then play it. And I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
And, I feel like I would like to get motion sickness with more of my games. It's actually
well, it's interesting because like obviously the Xbox One is so they came out with the minimum specs, which I think was like for VR on PC, and it's like a GTX 970, which is like, and all these other specs that are just way above consoles. So like clearly you cannot play the same console games in VR that you can on the PC. So
What would happen? So frame rate is really important to the Oculus, but almost every game, you know, every good game is in 30 frames per second. So you'd be seeing a 30 frame per second game in 90 frames a second. How does that work?
I have no idea. So we are a lot of unanswered questions. Anyway, so Bethesda came out and they announced the new Doom, which actually looks pretty good. I liked it. I was intrigued by that.
A lot of shooting.
It goes back to its roots, very fast gameplay. They had this whole like map creating thing.
They had a BFG.
Big news though was Fallout 4 is officially coming, and it is only going to take till November 10th to get us
this year
playing the game, which is fantastic. I was psyched. I thought all the demos that came off got me totally excited. I downloaded their little like iOS game, the Fallout Shelter game. Yeah. I've been playing that nonstop.
There's
that
a dog.
Was good stuff. There is a dog. Yeah. Microsoft. So Microsoft came out with Halo 5. Nathan Fillion was in it, and that made me really happy. The big like surprise announcement from them was that you can now it will become backwards compatible with Xbox 360 games. So they're slowly releasing all the I don't know about all, but chunks of Xbox 360 games that you can now play on the Xbox One.
Well, so just to be clear, so it actually is emulation. So potentially any game would work, except for Kinect games, but any normal game would work. But there is a possibility of some kinks with games because it is emulation. So there could
Speaking
be.
Of, there was just not one mention Nothing of Kinect the Kinect. Entire conference.
And you know, whenever they asked like Phil Spencer or anybody about that, they would say, well, we like to give our gamers choice.
Yeah.
And that was their line that they gave. Yeah. Like, we like to make sure they have the choice.
It was just not Kinect talked about. Fable Legends is actually going to be free to play, which is kind of cool. They announced some other games that are going to be on PC and also on Xbox. Show Gears 4. They also announced that there's a new, similar to Steam Greenlight, there's a new program called Xbox Game Preview where you can play games that are in development and you get a trial with it.
Yeah.
So you don't actually have to pay for it first. So, like, for example, Elite Dangerous is one of the games on there, and then they had a survival game. So you can download where they are in Elite Dangerous's development on the Xbox, and you can play it for an hour, I think it is, before you decide whether or not you want to buy into it.
That's cool.
I thought it's interesting. It's new. Since we've always talked about how there's a lack of demos on consoles, so like this is kind of nice. Cuphead was one of the indie games I showed, which is like that cartoony one. That was pretty cool. Anyway, so there's other games. Nothing huge, right? Nintendo has a new Star Fox coming out. A lot of people were not very happy with it.
It basically is Star Fox 64, like slightly rezzed up. It looks the same, and it's going to be more difficult because you're using the Wii U gamepad.
Mm-hmm.
And Metroid looked really stupid. They made a new Metroid game, and it's... But the
bigger one was Mario Maker, which was pretty cool. So you can create your own levels for Mario, and people can play it.
And apparently it's really intuitive.
It's pretty slick.
And it looks fun to use. Like,
so
it doesn't look
like
a game.
Little Big Planet, will you be able to publish your games online?
Yes.
And people will you have to use your friend, your Wii friend number?
Yeah.
They had like this Mario Paper crossover also. They also had this Yoshi's Woolly World, which is like Yarn Yoshi.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cute. It was
a lot
cute.
Of yarn
Not
in here.
Not gonna lie.
In this game.
No Zelda news?
No.
No Zelda news.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, they also announced Mario Tennis, which I think I would love to play. When that comes out, you got to play that.
Okay.
Which means you're going to buy it because you're the only one who has a Wii U.
EA, Mass Effect is coming. The next Mass Effect game, Andromeda, is coming. Supposedly holiday 2016. They showed off a little bit. Nothing like gameplay or anything. But, you know, being a person who loves Mass Effect, that's very exciting to me. Star Wars Battlefront also looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Looks really pretty.
Ubisoft, there's a new South Park game coming out. For Honor was one of the new IPs that was pretty interesting. It's like a 4v4 heroes, and then there's other minions that you can kill, like, to kind of like level up your guy in the meantime.
What platform is that?
That I believe is on all platforms. Okay. I could be mistaken though.
Probably. It's Ubisoft.
Division, we saw a little bit more of that. It's got a release date now, March 2016.
People are jerks. They kill each other.
New Assassin's Creed. As you'd expect from Ubisoft.
there were two women on stage at once, which is unheard of at E3.
What?
Yep. Well, yes. Yes. Yes, there were. One was a voice actor, though.
Yeah.
It's not like, yeah. But anyway, yes, that was...
One
that
was a good. Fake woman.
Yeah. No, I'm not taking away from it. Just like, yeah, anyway. Sony. Sony was like... Sony was just full of surprises that had to do with games that they were coming out with, although none of the games they announced are coming out this year.
Yeah.
Last Guardian was the first one. Everybody, the a lot of people have been waiting Guardian. For that for, like, the last five E3s. Finally, it was announced. So, granted, I haven't played those games, so it wasn't that exciting to me. And also, the art style looked really weird to me. I don't know if you saw the videos of it, but the Guardian looks like a completely different art style than the kid that you're running around in.
Hmm. Well, we'll talk about that.
I don't know. It looked weird. The IP that was announced...
We're going to get a lot of hate mail.
Yeah. Horizon Zero Dawn was this, like, dinosaur hunting game, but the dinosaurs are also robots. and you... you know, I don't know. It's supposed to be, I think, post-apocalyptic, and then these dinosaur robots come back, and then you got to kill them. And it looks really good, though.
So, yeah. Basically, bow and arrow versus... dinosaur robots, but apparently Guerrilla Games, who's making it, went to painstaking lengths to explain that they are not dinosaurs. And I don't mean like, I don't know what they're supposed to be.
No, they're robots.
No. They were, obviously, yeah, we know they're not real dinosaurs, but they're trying to say that they're not dinosaurs. Like, people are calling them robot dinosaurs. I don't know what they think they are.
They just looked exactly
like dinosaurs. Yeah, I don't know what they're, maybe...
That was probably the IP I saw, that the new IP that I was most excited about. We saw a little bit more No Man's Sky... Firewatch, so there were two other big announcements where Final Fantasy VII is getting remade. It's not just a graphics overhaul. It sounds like they're actually redoing
the
game.
From the ground up.
Although it's not coming out for like 2 or 3 years, so that's fine. Then the biggest thing, I lost my shit. Sean was next to me. Yeah. I heard the Shenmue music come on and I lost my mind. I went bananas. Shenmue 3 is going to it went to Kickstarter and then was successfully funded, partly thanks to me. small part thanks to me, was successfully funded in like 12 hours.
So tell us a little bit about Shenmue. What's so great about it? I know it was on Sega Saturn.
Shenmue, so it was Sega on Dreamcast.
Sorry, Dreamcast.
It was probably the best game that came out on Dreamcast.
Wrong, poorly selling console.
It was the first huge budget. What was it, $100 million budget, something like that?
Yeah,
and then I think massive. It wasn't until like GTA 4, like a 10 years later, that actually had a bigger budget.
And I'm not 100% sure. I think that's without inflation. So
yeah.
That's
a so lot of money. It was the first to be... a truly sandbox game, like kind of open world, and you can run around.
Yeah.
It was the first to have QuickTime events, supposedly, which is surprising to me.
Yeah.
It was
probably one of the first with that much voice acting, right? I mean, maybe not. Yeah. It couldn't have been the first, but
voice
I would think
acting,
one definitely one of the
soundtrack was incredible.
Okay, so I'm not trying to be a hater, but I'll.
You
hate
are. Already. You are hating.
I'm gonna. I'm just asking hard hitting questions. So what happened with Shenmue 2?
Shenmue 2 came out. It was not as good.
Okay.
All right.
It was on Xbox. And
it was also on Xbox and not on... Well, actually, it was on Dreamcast too, but...
And what from that first game isn't commonplace now, and what do you expect in the third game to push the limits?
So I don't know. I like...
Yeah, so what about... Shenmue, I mean, it sounds, obviously, that was super innovative because Dreamcast came out many, many years ago.
So,
but,
also,
I mean, all that stuff is commonplace now.
You're right. So, but also, Yu Suzuki, who made the game, also was, like, probably the most prolific Sega game designer back then. He's put out a whole bunch of games that were just good, so I'm genuinely excited to see him back in creating something.
But I think just what Josiah brings up is definitely off here for two reasons. I mean, first of all, whenever you have a game that hyped, there's always going to be a question of, you know, is this going to live up to the hype? But secondarily, it's been a while since he's made a big game, and the money situation is still kind of confusing, which we'll talk about later. But, you know, with such a big budget game, there's no way they'll have the same budget for this game. There's just
I need
no
closure
chance,
to the story, Josiah. I need closure to that story.
Oh, it had a good story?
It did.
Okay.
What was his name? Ryu Suzuki? No. Ryu...
Hazuki.
You don't know his last name? Well, Ryu and his family.
I'm pretty sure it's Suzuki.
So
it's been a long time since I've played these games.
Well, and that, you know, that's another point. So, you know, those three announcements were a big deal.
I was right. Ryu Hizuki, yes.
Oh, Hizuki.
Make me doubt myself.
There's always the question, too. I mean, I was super excited about Final Fantasy VII as well. And there's the question of how much of it is, I just want it for nostalgia's sake versus how much of it is, you know, it's going to be a great game. And I guess the only slightly differentiating factor with Final Fantasy VII is we already know what game it's going to be because it's going to be the same game, just upgraded in a number of ways. But Shenmue is still a little bit of an unknown quantity, and we'll have to see how it comes together and what his team does. I don't actually even know who's on his dev team. But.
So who won?
So this is like a big battle between the like nostalgic games that everybody wanted to see from Sony versus
that
like
aren't coming out anytime soon.
Well, yeah. So that's my point. So I mean, you know, and I'm biased, obviously. I think Microsoft won, and they took, I think, the past couple of years and all like just the poor announcements, like, you know, when they like the always on controversy and all these other things that they lost in these announcements, and they came
Phil
out.
Phil Spencer has been the most important part of Xbox ever.
So I think they won. Like, the backwards compatibility is a big thing. I don't know how much I'm going to take advantage of it, but I like, as a company, it's good to see that they did this.
Yeah.
And again, it's just like, you know, when you're comparing the two consoles side by side, this is an advantage to a lot of people who had a big collection of Xbox 360 games. The preview thing is intriguing, but it's not so much. I'm interested.
I mean,
it's
depending on what games come out, though. Like, right. Rust came out of that. There were a few other good games that came out of Steam Greenlight. So, you know, it really depends on what developers step up to the plate.
Yes. So, and it's also interesting to see how once Windows 10 comes out in a couple months, it'll be actually the end of next month. It'll be interesting to see. And the update to Xbox One's interface and UI. It'll be interesting to see how much of that partnership has evolved and see what you can do that you can't do with Sony. And just the partnerships with both, what is it, the Vive? Is that the other?
Yeah, the Vive.
The Vive and
Oculus.
Like, yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of unknowns. We don't know.
You didn't even mention HoloLens.
And, yeah, HoloLens is another big one, too. I don't really consider that an Xbox thing, but.
I don't actually know how it's.
Just as a larger point, like, I'm very excited for where Windows is right now on the verge of Windows 10 and refreshing their mobile, refreshing their Xbox, refreshing their, you know, PC stuff. In general, I'm excited to see where that's going to go. We have no idea if they're going to fall flat with all this. But I think it just shows the forward momentum that they're where they are in their mindset compared to where Sony is right now.
Yeah.
And to your point earlier, nothing that Sony talked about is coming out this year.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
I will honestly say I think you could make an argument for either of them. I don't think you can say Nintendo won. I don't think they had enough. And Bethesda, they had one.
Fallout was the big thing.
Yeah.
Doom 2.
Bethesda doesn't have enough stuff to really show, so I can't contain it that way. So, but anyway, I'll argue for Sony. I mean, the three things they showed, I almost wonder if they're thinking, look, we have nothing coming out this year, so we have to show something.
You have to get excited.
And they
somehow
blew it out of the water. Like, these are the three unicorns of gaming. The Last Guardian, Shenmue, and Final Fantasy VII. I mean, each one of them has been outdone by the other one's rarity. Like, Final Fantasy, since that game came out, it's been how many remakes, when are they going to make a remake? And then they kind of showed off that PS3 version where they recreated the beginning of the game. And they teased us with that, and that didn't come out. Shenmue, I mean, it was supposed to be a 9-part epic, but since it was impossible to get those dev costs back, they never could do it, and it turned into this thing. And then Last Guardian, I mean, anyone who played Shadow of the Colossus or Ico, which, you know, has a core following. This is another interesting thing. I would definitely say, maybe not for Final Fantasy, but Last Guardian and Shenmue, I don't think that many
people actually played those games.
Yeah. But somehow they've turned into a thing. I mean, maybe the mainstream doesn't connect with it, but the entire gaming community, even outside of the people who've played those games, I think at least want to see what these things are because they've heard about it. They've gotten to their hype level status that's much beyond what you would expect they would be at. But the only downside to Sony is, after they announced those big things, the only other real thing was Uncharted was really good for people who like Uncharted, but anything else was Morpheus. They barely showed anything.
They didn't show anything during the conference.
They did for like 2 minutes. They literally had 2 minutes of stage time. So it's basically nothing, which is a big deal.
I heard a rumor that there was a demo they were supposed to show that apparently had bugs like right before it, so they just cut it.
Well, so they did show it on the floor. So if you're on the press,
but they didn't show. People, sure,
they didn't have videos of it.
It's also hard to demo VR.
It is.
I mean, you have to try it on.
Yeah.
That's what made the HoloLens so successful. They figured out a rig.
They had that same problem with 3D, like with the Nintendo 3DS other stuff.
So just never you bring that up. I actually forgot. The one other thing Oculus showed off were these new Half Moon controllers. Which, you know, supposedly you can do gestures and things like that, but, you know, we haven't really seen anything beyond that yet.
And it's moving in 3D space. How are you going to influence that, and what can you do with it?
If I can give Sean the finger in any game, I'm going to buy them.
So I think Sony, I think it was those three big games that I think people have always been expecting, but I think they pretty much fell flat after that. They showed off more No Man's Sky, but No Man's Sky, it's kind of getting to the point where, like, so they showed off No Man's Sky, and it kind of felt like a space shooter, which I was kind of expecting more of space exploration, because there are plenty of other space shooters. So I've heard positive reactions from press who actually got to play it. Not overwhelmingly positive, but positive.
I heard you have to check your expectations of it.
I don't even know what game I thought it would be, to be honest. Yeah. I was just so excited about it because it seemed cool.
So do you have a winner?
I guess Sony. I genuinely think it's a toss-up,
though. Josiah?
I'm personally interested in some of the Sony announcements, but I have to temper it with the fact that, you know, none of it's has a release date.
Yeah, right.
The stuff I'm interested in, namely the Final Fantasy VII remake and a couple other things, they don't have launch dates for it. So, I'm going to refrain. I'll be the grumpy old man. Say I'll wait and see.
So 1-1 to nothing.
So one interesting thing, you know, I was talking about Sony putting out the Shenmue announcement. But so one thing, it's not actually paid for by Sony. They actually were announcing that there's a Kickstarter funding. So Yu Suzuki was the one who came on stage and he said he has a Kickstarter up. The game's going to be released for PC and PS4 only. But at the time, they didn't say we have a partnership with Sony, only that Sony was giving him marketing time. Kickstarter went up. It was funded pretty quickly, and I think it's at like $4 million now, and the original goal was $2 million.
Mm-hmm. But you know, that's undershooting it, right?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. So a couple of things. First of all, Yu Suzuki did a AMA, and people asked him, what are you going to do with this money and how much do you need? And he said something like $5 million is enough to do the things I guess I want to do, and $10 million is enough for a real open world experience.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about Shenmue, it has to be open world. If you made a linear Shenmue, it would just be degrading to the name. It has to be. So they clearly knew they had to make more money, and significantly. That's five times as much as they originally announced. Now, as people were expecting, after the Kickstarter came out, Sony kind of announced later, we're going to help fund it. So I want to know what you guys think about this, that they threw out a Kickstarter, which is ostensibly to have the fans sort of fund it, but now Sony's also funding it. Should Sony have just decided we're going to fund it from the start, or we're not going to fund it for all? How do we know where the Kickstarter money's going?
What to your point earlier, I think it was more like I think it was to test the water. I think they wanted to say, okay, does this have enough of a backing for us to put money into it, right? And to your point earlier, like how many people have actually played this game? Like the first one was on Dreamcast. Very few people had Dreamcast. So like how many people actually played this? And is it more just a cult following? Like, and part of it, you know, thinking back on it now, is like, yeah, I mean, everything that they did is now old school, if not commonplace now.
Right.
So it's like, how much of it is just nostalgia that I just want these characters back again, right? So I think it was Sony just testing the water to say, hey, is there enough interest in this game for us to actually put our money behind it?
But do you think it's fair that essentially what used to be a business risk for them, they can just put as a business risk on the fervent fans instead? I mean, it's clearly legal,
it worked for them. Let me put it this way. Like, I was so excited. I kind of got caught up in it too. So like, I've never bought a collector's edition of anything, and I dropped $300 on this, like, without hesitation.
Yeah. High roller over here.
And I mean, you think,
hey,
about
Rob, can I borrow $300? Yeah.
Hey, nope, because it's going to Shenmue.
I have the next Firefly DVD. Just give me $1,000. But so that's the thing. I mean, it's not like they've never funded unknown IP before. I mean, heck, Shenmue itself. Now, he, Yu Suzuki, had a lot of credibility in the industry after making, like, Virtua Fighter, Virtua Racer. What's it? Oh, shoot, what's it called?
Virtua Racer,
right? Yeah. And he's made another number of games, but it was an unknown IP, and, you know, they funded that much money. So it's not like, you know, Microsoft was talking about funding Phantom Dust, which I didn't even know what it was.
Yeah.
So it's not like they don't do this normally. Like, are you... I think this will keep happening, but are you okay with this idea? Adam Boyes basically came out and said, our other option... No one was funding. No one was willing to fund Shenmue. That's just it. Nobody was. So one option was they could support you by Yu Suzuki, Mr. Suzuki-san. we could support him by making like a Facebook page and seeing how many likes they get. But clearly, by doing a Kickstarter, you really see the market value because people are putting their money down.
Money talks, like, right? So I'm perfectly fine with it for a couple reasons. Number one, that scenario you just described, right? Like, this game was not going to be made unless they got some seed funding. So on top of that...
Unless Sony put their money in.
Well, no, like they needed seed funding before Sony would put their money in. I mean, that was just a scenario you described, right?
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that. Go get your seed funding to get another big backer to push you over the edge, right? And then on top of that, why not get it from the fans, you know? I'm more comfortable with that, so people who want to see it get this opportunity to see it happen versus, you know, them having to say, well, just a what if. What if they had to close down another game that I actually want to see? I don't give a shit about Shenmue, right? I'm just saying, for instance,
yeah.
Right? But I never played it, right? So,
sure, yeah.
You know, I don't really care Shenmue from whatever, Shamu, and but the people who want to see that game happen, they can pay for it, right? So it's a tax on the people who want to see that game happen. Great, go for it. That's how the free market should work.
Do you think, though, as... feeling like the idea behind Kickstarter is almost like a grassroots thing. It's supposed to be... There's a feeling that it is funded by people, and you don't know what's going on behind
the scenes. That's what it started. How it started, but I don't think people... I mean, if you want it to be that way, then... we've talked about this before. It's, you know, these online platforms and communities grow and evolve, and then... And people are always going to... There's going to be a small core of people who say, oh, this is sold out or it's gotten too big and blah, blah, blah. Fine, move on. Because ultimately, the people who posted these platforms want to make money. And until they say, oh, well, this is a misuse of our platform, it's not, right? As long as the people who run Kickstarter are okay with Sony and the developers doing this to seed their funding... Then it's clearly okay with the platform.
Well, what do you think will happen? Say that Sony internally is saying, hey, this has to get to 7.5 million or else we're not going to put our money in or something like that.
They can't be doing
that. I mean, that would be...
Why can't they be doing?
Because then they would have set the goal at 7.5 million.
But see, but this is I think the problem is there is no transparency. We don't actually know what
sure.
We want.
But that's any Kickstarter.
True.
It's got nothing to do with Sony.
So that's my question. That's why it's clearly... I don't mean at all to say that this should be illegal, but a question is, do you think this is something that should be practiced going forward, or this is something that needs to be thought of?
I don't mind it. Like, I think it's advantageous to use Suzuki also, because I think if he had tried to just do this on his own and just said this, he would have not gotten nearly as much coverage on it.
Is there any situation where you feel like you should have been... or Suzuki-san should have been more transparent with how much they had all already talked to Sony about.
I don't think so. Okay. I think as long as the 2 million that they set was the goal to where they could comfortably say, okay, if we get this point...
Well, he already said he needed 10 million to really make the game. Now, it could have been, you get to 2.5, we'll give you the other 7.5, but...
I don't think this game is going to be made on a $10 million budget in general.
I don't think they're going to give him that. I mean, how much do you think? I don't think they're going to give him that much money.
I have no idea.
Like,
I have no idea. But, like, anyway, my point is, I'm just saying that I hope that the $2 million that they came up with was significant in the sense that Sony said, okay, this is the mark you need to get before we invest X amount that you need to finish it.
Yeah. I mean, it's very similar to Star Citizen, right? They got... with Roberts Industries. They got a seed funding, and they've... I forget how much they got off of Kickstarter, but they've gotten They've gotten tens of millions more beyond their Kickstarter because they got other people to, so it goes straight to their site so they don't have to get a cut, give a cut to Kickstarter. And then on top of that, they've gotten other, like, big-time investors. So not, you know, $100 here, $50 here, but thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars from other investors because they have the excitement and the community management to get that. And I'm fine for that. That's fine. People who want to see that. And but we have to realize that it's always a risk, right? Because anytime, whether Sony funds it and banks it entirely or they go to Kickstarter, it's always a risk, right? They, how many times have they talked about some game that never came out or it came out and it was crap?
Yeah.
That happens all the time. So now the risk is being being absorbed by some proportion or percentage of people who want to see that game rather than people who don't necessarily care about that game. And it's not taking away from projects that I want to see created or other people want to see created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just
Star, think... Hold on, real quick. So Star Citizen raised $2.1 million on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly. Like $70 million?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So that's a model that's already
so
been...
But I think one big differentiator with Star Citizen... So whenever you have a Kickstarter game without another funder, the people that you owe the game to are the... are essentially or ostensibly the people who kickstarted it. We don't know what bounds Sony or another publisher would put on the game if they're the one also holding the strings. Now, Shenmue didn't do this. They were very clear about platforms. But what do you think Star Citizen fans would say if they raised like $5 million and then Microsoft said, we'll fund the rest, but now it's going to be Xbox exclusive. And then all of a sudden people who thought it was going to be on PS4, Star Citizen actually is a bad example because it's PC, but you get my example.
No, yeah.
That's like, I don't think it's the worst thing, but there should be, to me, some kind of transparency of what dealings are doing with somebody else because publishers are known for having more strict rules, and this is a positive thing too, on what has to come out. They put timelines, whereas, you know, you look at, you know, Kickstarter games, they can come out whenever they want.
I don't know all the nuance of the law, but I mean... there was a case just recently of an actual Kickstarter that got that was federally charged.
Really?
Right. So it was a board game.
Was that the
game.
Card game?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
I think
card
I heard
game
this one.
Or
yeah.
Board game, and they had clear documentation that this guy misappropriated funds. He basically spent $200,000 on himself, and then he later on said, "Oh, sorry, I can't publish the game," and he made no effort to refund money and. You know, he got caught, and they looked up the documentation, and they charged him. So, I mean, there is a public promise of services or product to people who paid money, and you can read the terms of service, and you can read what was promised online, and then it's up to, you know, a class action lawsuit or the federal government to press charges, that sort of thing. So, I mean, there are some protections. I haven't read the fine print on it, but... it would basically suck if they did a bait and switch because of a new heavy-hitting investor. But I don't, you know, that would be a risk that the developer would take in saying that, you know, we're not going to lose goodwill and we're not going to go to jail, right? That's something that they'd have to make a calculated risk. And I don't think many people would want to do that.
I think, I mean, you're right.
It's self-correcting.
I would agree with that. In the same way, yeah, they clearly said it's coming out for PS4 and PC. And, you know, people immediately kind of knew there was going to be something with Sony. And you make a perfectly fair point that Kickstarter, I mean, it's a larger point of Kickstarter. You have to be very, I don't know, not hesitant, but you have to make sure you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
I guess that my thought of this also kicked off when Pebble put out the Pebble Time.
Yep.
Because it felt like you are, like, the point of Kickstarter was the Pebble. The Pebble Time is a product that you are just going to sell. So,
yes and no. I mean, Pebble and I know we've talked about this before. Sony is, quote unquote, falling on hard times compared to what they used to be.
Yeah.
But they're a well-established company. They have line of credit, et cetera, et cetera. Pebble, it's still a young company, and when you're building hardware, there are huge cash flow problems as far as how many products to build and how many can you ship and sell on time. So I don't begrudge them going to Kickstarter with the Pebble Time because there are huge cash. Yeah, exactly.
So I
get where you're going for, but it's I think it's the details are a little bit different there.
Well, I won't be spending $300. I wanted that jacket, $10,000 for. I know. Was it the jacket that?
The jacket that Yu Suzuki wore in the original press conference to announce it sold for $10,000 in
jacket,
an hour.
Yeah, the jacket, and I think there were two tickets for dinner with him. Three, and they sold out really quickly.
Was it Kanye? Kanye bought it.
That's why he was there. If I see him in that jacket,
all of a sudden the soundtrack is all Kanye.
That and some leather jogging pants.
All right, so now that we've debriefed, it's come to our question of the week, which is brought to you by Audible, and you can get your free audiobook download and free 30-day trial by going to audibletrial.com/rolltohit. Josiah, do you have any book that you're listening to right
now? I'm still making my way through Reality is Broken by Jay McGonigal. Nice. I've been catching up on it. I started a new podcast series related to, Serial? The first season of Serial. It's this court case, so...
Kellogg's podcast?
No. It's called Undisclosed, and so it's the original lady who sent a letter to Sarah Koenig, or This American Life, to get her to investigate the court case. So it's a friend of of Adnan. So anyhow, I've been listening to that, and so I'm a little bit behind on my audiobook there. But nice thing about this audiobook, so they're all narrated by different people, and so the lady reading this book, she speaks very clearly and enunciates in such a way that I can listen to it in 3x.
Wow.
It's awesome.
You are funny. So you can listen to that book and more by going to audibletrial.com/rolltohit. And after E3, this conference is over. We've had time to digest it a little bit. Now that I think about it, I'm really mad that they didn't announce Chex Quest remastered. Yeah. So what is the platform to own right now? So we've heard from PS4. We've heard from Xbox. There was also a PC show we didn't talk about because it really wasn't that exciting.
So I'm assuming that you're asking me this question because, Rob, you own everything.
I own everything. Yeah.
Sean, you have the PlayStation, which you're very happy with, as far as I can tell.
Let me rephrase the question. What platform would you recommend to someone if they were in the market for next gen?
Yeah.
What do we want Josiah to get?
What would you give your mother?
How about you do that? You recommend to me, and I'll give you my answer.
For you specifically, it's PS4 because everybody I know owns PS4, so I'm kind of trapped.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, honestly, I still think PC is the way to go. Like, I mean, it's every... I think... I don't know if we were talking about this before the show or before it. But basically, we were saying that, like, every single exclusive game, almost every single exclusive game that was to one console is also coming out on PC.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you really can't go wrong.
I mean, really. Final Fantasy, No Man's Sky, Street Fighter... most of
Street Fighter 5's on
and it's kind of crazy in my opinion that it's not going to be on Xbox. Like, that seems like a very console game.
Yeah,
it seems like the oddest one to go exclusive. Shenmue, a lot of Xbox games are going to be on it. It's crazy how many are going to be on PC as well.
Yeah, so it's hard for me to recommend a console. Granted, people tend to like consoles to play online with friends. So this has been my recommendation from the beginning. It's like whatever your friends have, that's kind of what you have to go with.
So you're telling me I should get a PlayStation 4?
I'm telling everybody else to get a PC.
Yeah, yeah.
I was actually going to say the same thing for those reasons. And backwards compatibility has always been around. You have the biggest... When you think long-term, if you had bought a game when the Xbox original came out, you could still play that game today. Maybe some quirks. Maybe you got to use DOSBox. Well, not that old, but maybe you got to put it in Windows XP compatibility mode. But you can probably play a game. And by now, maybe it's abandonware, so you can play it for free.
And also there's mods too on PC. Oh, which interestingly enough, apparently Fallout 4 on Xbox One will have mods. Mods too, I think, are getting carried over.
I want to see how they do that because mods are insane. And I wonder what they're going to do with the dev kit. I don't know how it works on PC, but I assume it's kind of easy because people can kind of
I don't think they're going to put a dev kit
I think it's
Xbox
just PC
One, but
mods.
They'll port the mods
go over.
Oh.
Yeah. Which is still crazy because I can't think of any other games.
But I think, that's basically what it's coming down to. They're planning for Windows 10, effectively, right? So
I'm still partial to the Xbox One as a console. Like if someone was just saying, all right, what console should I get? I would say Xbox One still. Like, you still have all the TV integration stuff if you have cable.
Well, what are the two best games right now in your opinion? Two. I don't know why I said two.
Witcher.
The Witcher. So that's on all platforms.
Yeah. The Witcher. Play Witcher and Gwent. Gwent is its own game. You can play many hours of Gwent.
So.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think there's any, like, outside of Blood. I know you'd say Bloodborne, but, like, outside of that, I can't think of maybe Halo. Halo's another big one that's coming out this year. But again, that's on PC. So I think, is it? I don't know. We didn't.
I don't think it's going to be none of the other Halos except like Master Chief. Actually, did the Master Chief Collection come out on PC?
I don't know.
They put out Halo 1 on PC because they were doing, you know, that was a big Microsoft
games for Windows.
Yeah, games for Windows. Yeah. They didn't do Halo 2. I don't think they did 3. I don't think they did any game after that because they wanted it to be an Xbox game and it was better on there. But
well, I.
The Wii U.
There was nothing that jumped out at me. There were some cool things. Like I said, Final Fantasy VII sounds interesting. And this new game, Horizon.
It's not going to be on PC.
Horizon's not on PC?
Halo, sorry.
So, yeah, okay.
Horizon won't be either.
There are a couple IPs that were, I thought, Sony, Sony PlayStation only, but... Or Sony. now that I hear most of the ones that I'm interested in are going to be on PC, I think it pushes me towards PC. Again, I was interested in the Oculus Rift compatibility on Xbox One, but that sounds like a kind of a weird hack, and it's not going to be true VR from Oculus on Xbox One.
From the beginning.
So it really sounds like it's pushing me towards PC. But, you know, for me to find a PC, we've talked about this before, but I feel like it's going to cost more than you know, $350 for a console.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah.
So, basically what it boils down to
could
is...
could cost $350.
Right. Basically what it boils down to is more waiting. Because there was nothing that just made me feel like, I got to go buy something right now, and we're going to play it all summer. Yeah. I don't feel that way at all.
And one thing that I feel like console just always wins out on is there's nothing like just knowing your console is going to run it. Every time you get bugs on the PC, even Rob, you have a beefy PC, but still there are issues with GTA 5 and stuff like that. And
can't even turn it on right now.
So that element of it, you know, when I got the PS4 and it just worked, got to love that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So still conflicted. Don't know what to... with the own yet.
I feel like this is the reoccurring theme of this show from the beginning, 41 episodes ago, as we were talking about what's Josiah going to buy.
He doesn't buy first gen. Basically, I'll say this for the next 2 years. When they finally come out with a slim version that has some souped up specs and can work with VR, I'll buy it.
There you go.
Sounds good.
All right, last topic of the show. Just wanted to mix it up a little bit, stop talking about video games.
Why?
Video games are for nerds.
Just to mix it up a little bit. And I'm sure everybody heard about this, Taylor Swift, right? So Taylor Swift and Apple.
I've heard of this person.
Yes. And Taylor Swift kind of got into a spat, and then they resolved it, which was kind of interesting, right? So Taylor Swift, they kind of made a big deal about this at WWDC. Some people noticed that when Apple started talking about Apple Music, they had imagery from several albums and or artists that actually aren't going to be on Apple Music, or at that time hadn't yet agreed to be on Apple Music. And Taylor Swift was one of them. I think Adele is another, et cetera.
Yeah.
So Taylor Swift mentioned on her Tumblr blog and then tweeted the link, basically saying it was actually a nicely written letter and is very polite and so forth. I think she paid attention to her persuasive writing courses, but basically she said it's unfortunate that Apple is, which is a generous and innovative company, is choosing not to pay artists for the 3 month free sample that they're giving to everybody for Apple Music, and so they're not paying artists during that time, or that was a plan. And so she basically publicly shamed them and then gave them an out by saying you could pay artists. And she made it clear, whether you believe her or not, she made it clear that this isn't for her. She said very publicly, explicitly rather, that she could pay, you know, everybody that depends on her, her band, her agent, all this other stuff, just from big shows that she does, ticket sales and stuff like that, and merch, etc. So she doesn't need the extra money. But indie labels and indie artists need this money, especially because most of their listens are going to come during this free trial. And so, you know, it's going to be kind of front-loaded money that they're missing out on.
Sure.
So with all of that, you know, very quickly, within 24 hours, Eddie Q basically came out on Twitter and said, "We hear you. We're listening. We love you. We're going to fix it, right? And we're going to pay indie people." So the thing I really want to talk about is a couple things here. So number one, it's easy enough to vilify Apple, but it's also the labels who negotiated this. So basically, the labels sold their artists out. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, I don't know the exact amount, but basically Apple negotiated that instead of a 70-30 split with the labels, that they would do like a 74-75 split for the labels if they got this three-month free period. Hmm. So basically, the labels won out, and they shafted Apple with this sticky situation of potentially looking stupid and looking greedy, and Apple didn't want to fall into that trap, so they're basically shelling out more money. Now, you can always make the case that Apple has hundreds of billions of dollars cash in reserve, so it's not hurting their bottom line, but still, I think it's just kind of crappy that the labels just made out like bandits like this. They've got, you know, these big grins on their face, I'm sure.
Well, I would argue both of them are just as complicit, because Apple did this clearly as a business decision for obvious reasons, and labels... Yeah, those are definitely the biggest problem, because the other thing is, you know, you talk about that 70-30 split. The 70 goes to the labels.
Yeah.
Not all of it. The way it ends up getting to the musicians themselves is very complicated, and it's not very clear or transparent how much actually goes to the artists.
Yeah.
So even if Apple had given 95% to the labels, who knows how much of it would have actually gone to the musicians.
Right,
and
right.
So... while this is a big deal, I mean, yeah, it is funny how labels do win out, because now they get some money during the trial period and they get a higher percentage points during the regular streaming time.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's just kind of, I just wanted to point that out, and it's a shame. And it brings me to my next point, which is we kind of talked about this when Tidal was announced and some of these other music streaming options, but when are artists going to get their own labels, right?
Yeah.
Like, basically just cut out the middle person and go straight to digital distribution, right?
And now it's so much more possible. I mean, it is literally worse to go physical distribution, because CDs, the only one who can sell CDs is Taylor Swift. Like, even Beyonce didn't sell that well. Like, people like Beyonce, Kanye, Jay-Z, I mean, they sold decently, but Taylor is the only one who could really push CDs. And Frozen. and you know why? It's because parents of kids buying the CDs, because they own the CD player still. Like,
and that's actually my third question, which is, who else could do this?
I was just
not Taylor Swift. But let's come back to that, because, you know, the piece with the when are artists going to skip labels, or when is a tech company going to cut out the labels? I think the pieces are in place for somebody like Apple, maybe Google to a lesser degree, maybe even Amazon, to just start signing artists. But I think the problem there is that they're going to have, the labels rebel. Like, if the labels see that they're starting to sign artists, they're going to rebel. But Apple especially, because, I mean, they've got Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre and Trent Reznor and people who could literally just start producing albums for them.
Yeah.
And finding the artists and collecting, you know, getting the talent for them.
I mean, I think Drake is putting his album on Apple Music first. I thought that's what he announced, right?
Yeah, but he's still signed with a label.
Yeah,
right?
Still...
So, but when is it going to happen where somebody just takes the initiative to start this new label, and it's all based on digital distribution to cut costs and just start signing artists like crazy? I think there's a huge opportunity there, and I thought that's where Jay-Z was going to go with Tidal. Maybe it's too young for him to to make that power play yet, but that's what I really thought should and could happen.
It's funny too with JC because his other job is being a basketball agent. So he's doing that for basketball. He's signing people.
Right.
But you think about, I mean, Indy is not impossible. Taylor Swift is on, what, like Big Machine Records or something, which is pretty much her label at this point because who knows who else is on it. And Macklemore, one thing he was really well known for was the fact that he did it all through Indy.
Yeah.
You could kind of say Kendrick Lamar, but he signed to Interscope and like Dre's label, but he pushes Top Dog Entertainment a lot. There are a lot of people who sign artists, but they still sign them as subsidiaries under the larger label. So I don't know. This is definitely a time, especially because the labels don't have money. Like, you look at the movie industry, maybe some of this could happen, but studios have so much money now, they can bankroll things. Right now, the music industry is not flush with cash. Yeah. If anything, you need to get rid of middlemen or something because you don't need physical distribution anymore. You really don't. And artists need a bigger cut. They need more money because they're just generally there isn't as much money to go around. Streaming services aren't paying that much.
And I think it's just going to be too much of a system shock for existing labels to change the to change the split between them and their artists. Like, and that's why I really think it's going to take a new label or a new type of label to come up on the rise and start facilitating. And, you know, really the things are, so what are the labels providing? Advertising, marketing, maybe some songwriting and producers, access to producers.
Studio.
And the studio, right, the equipment. But a lot of that stuff is getting really cheap.
Cheaper.
It's not dirt cheap. You're right. It's still expensive, but it's much cheaper. And, you know, put it on Kickstarter, right? Like, we were just talking about Kickstarter. Hey, I need studio time. A friend of mine did that. And
De La Soul actually just did that. They did their newest album on Kickstarter.
Yeah, with technology, I mean, this podcast today, with like, this would not be nearly as easy, you know, however many years ago. I mean, assuming there was some way, how would you distribute it? I mean, how common are, I mean, I guess microphones have been around for a while, but this mixing software and things like that, it is a lot easier to do a home studio that sounds pretty decent.
I mean, if you had a couple people with good know-how, like, and time on their hands, you could make a pretty decent studio for $5,000-$6,000.
Sure, but you still need somebody who knows how to produce music. You still need somebody who knows how to mix it.
So you still need the talent, right? But I'm just saying it's not impossible.
But you can pry those people away from labels, and it's the management structure that you want to change.
Sure.
Basically, what we're trying to say is C-Block is starting a record label. We already signed on MC Dreamcast. We're looking for MC Xbox and see if there's any PS4. But, you know, it's interesting. The other thing I see about this is, and this is the thing I'm not sure about, so Spotify was really vilified for the fact that they just pay out very little per stream. I'm not so sure that Apple is going to be paying that much more. Their bigger thing is they're only going to have paying subscribers so they can pay more. And hopefully their volume will be larger. But if at this point it doesn't seem like it's anything significantly different from Spotify or even and Tidal was supposed to be for the artist, so that should have been even more than Apple. So I don't know what they're paying out, but the question is this still going to have the same problem where artists still aren't getting paid enough?
I mean, I think it's going to come down to volume, and Apple can really flex its muscle. I mean, as far as historically what they've done with the free downloads and stuff like that through Starbucks, through the iTunes store. They stopped doing that, and I think there was some controversy about, it wasn't necessarily clear if they were paying people when they had the free MP3 download or the iTunes download and stuff like that, the Song of the Week, etc. So, but they do have that marketing muscle and that reach to just get to everybody because most people are using default stuff, right, and the stock stuff. So they open their music app and they just see a big artist. Album art for somebody, and they say, oh, let's try it, let's play it.
So as a little note with that, I'm still hesitant. I think because of how good Apple is, I think we tend to assume that everything they do is going to be successful, and I think there's a very good chance of it, but I'm still a bit hesitant only because I think the last few products they've put out have been excellent or close to it, and I don't think they've taken off as well as you might think. Apple Pay, I mean, I don't see how it would get that much better except that it'd be accepted at more terminals.
That's a little different because they don't control the whole equation, right? They need more stores to start taking Apple Pay.
But I don't...
And
I
having
don't...
those terminals in there. In this case, all you need is an iPhone and they control the whole ecosystem.
But you know what? Even with that, I think there are a ton of people who don't use the default apps. Because the bigger thing with this is it's not a free app, so you got to pay for it. And so the question is, like, they had iTunes Match and iTunes Radio. I mean, those were obviously much smaller in scale, so you can't really compare them. I don't know how successful that was. iTunes is clearly the one where they just blew it out of the water. They are by far the biggest and best. So, but my point is, yes, it's going to be on their thing for default, by default. The trial is really important, but getting that conversion factor, I think might be a little more difficult because people are fickle. And I think the thing that they pointed as the differentiating factor was kind of the social aspect, like Connect, not Microsoft Connect. And I can't see Apple doing a good job with a social network. There has to be some level of cool to it. Like Snapchat has that. Instagram has that. I don't know. Hello had it for 2 seconds. or Ello. I can't see them getting the social network off the ground. I mean, clearly, chances are this will work out. I'm not saying
but they don't control that whole picture with the social network. But basically, the way they've set that up, it's not really about fans posting anything. It's about the artist posting to their fans. So it's just like following your artist on Facebook or following an artist on Snapchat or whatever, right? So I think. I agree. There are a lot of question marks, and it's not a given by any means that they are going to blow it out of the water. But I think they have a fair shot at it.
I totally agree with that, too.
Let's wrap this up and come back to that question that Rob posed that I wanted answered.
Which console are you going to buy?
Who else could have had this influence on Apple specifically, right, to kind of publicly shame them? It's not going to be, you know, any of these other big wigs like Jay-Z or Kanye or Madonna or none of them.
They don't
right?
even. It's funny how she's built that persona too. Like Jay-Z is a very big star, but I can't picture him. I mean, he seems more like a label man. He worked for Def Jam. He was the head of Def Jam. So
right.
I can't see that. And you think of the other artists. I mean, Kanye. I don't know what he would do, but
I'm the worst person to name artists because I listen to podcasts and audiobooks. So I don't know. You know,
all the artists I listen to are from like 40 years.
They're
ago.
They're all
dead. This American Life. They just take over. Ira Glass is like, this is unconscionable.
Yeah.
But really, no one. And
like,
actually, that's...
I was actually surprised that Taylor Swift could do this because I didn't realize how.
Yeah, but
star she
you
is.
Really
I
don't.
Know.
I don't
yeah,
know.
Hold
really
on.
Can't
so name
the
a
other thing
I wanted to
ask
right
though is like you know, they're Apple's releasing this new platform, something they haven't done before, right? So how much of it do you think was just not trying to piss off the labels though? I mean, do you think it was all because Taylor Swift got on there and was like, oh?
I think the labels really don't care, as shown by the fact that they sold out their artists. They said, fine, don't pay them. Yeah.
I mean,
pay
Apple
us.
Had already made the deal. Right? Yeah. The labels had already signed on. I mean, it seems silly to think that Taylor Swift would have that big of an impact. And it's not, I mean, they knew it was also the backlash. Other people had spoken out too. Adele had spoken out, and she wasn't alone, but it was when Taylor Swift said it. It is really hilarious, like you say, how that had such a big impact. And Apple is not known for capitulating to others' demands, but they know in the music industry
she's a terrorist.
Yeah, she really is.
She's
she
a musical
is the
terrorist.
Person with the gun. And this is not the first time she spoke out against Spotify. And notably, 1989 is not on Apple Music. Who knows? It might be now that this was resolved. We don't know. But right now, 1989 is not on any streaming service. You can buy it in iTunes. You can buy the CD and stuff, but you can't. I don't think there's anyone else. And I think we talked about this a little bit before. Music creation has been democratized and distribution has been democratized. So now there are fewer big groups and way more smaller groups.
Right.
It's like, you know, it's the opposite of gaming. In gaming, it's all AAA or indie. There's no AA or whatever B anymore. In music, there's all these indies. There's all, like, B. Like, you could... There's so many artists. I don't know. Florence the Machine, J. Cole, Kendrick. They're never... They're not superstars like Taylor Swift or...
But they're not
the
indies,
Stones,
right?
The Beatles, you know, I don't know, Guns N' Roses or something like that. So... Because of that, there's nobody else who could shake the industry up. I mean, like I said, no one has sold albums like Taylor did except for Frozen. And let's be honest, that was because that sold like, and even that in relative terms wasn't that great of a seller.
So Disney should have stepped up.
Yeah, Disney. But I really think that was because parents had CD players, that kind of older generation buying it. I don't think it was because of any other reason. So,
okay. All right. I think that'll do it for us. Rob, you want to take us out?
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Unwind. You can subscribe to us on the iTunes and Stitcher. Please, Sean has another comment that he left out. No? You're good? Last chance. You don't want to get it in?
It's not that.
All right. Please share us with your friends. Leave us some comments. Submit your own questions and topics by going to theunwind.audio. Also, check out our Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition live play podcast called Roll to Hit. And we'll see you next week.